I'm delighted to welcome two guests to WMUK today. The event is a celebration, a gala finale for Kalamazoo Kids in Tune, a live concert which will be held at 5:30 p.m. at Chenery Auditorium. My guests are conductor Rick Barth and Kalamazoo Symphony Orchestra education person Liz Huger. Thank you so much for coming into WMUK.
Thanks for having us, Karen.
Thanks. It's a pleasure to be with you today.
We were here last year at the four-year anniversary of Kalamazoo Kids in Tune. But I think I and my listeners need a refresher on the scope of the program and what it's out to achieve. Can I start with you, Liz?
Sure. Well, we're so excited to talk about this program, which is concluding its very fifth year, which still feels like the beginning, but man, it's come a long way. So it's very exciting. Kids in Tune is a partnership of Kalamazoo Symphony Orchestra, Communities and Schools of Kalamazoo, and KPS. And we call it an orchestra immersion program. This is an after-school program that meets at Woods Lake Elementary 4 days per week. The students start their day with a hot meal, and then afterward they get to work on learning their instruments. So they have group lessons, they have orchestra rehearsals, sectionals, and some additional activities as well, including mindfulness practice and some other club activities to round things out. But they are working very hard to master their instruments and become fine young musicians.
Are all the students already students at Woods Lake Elementary?
Yes, they are. And so it's great because they can just come straight to the cafeteria after school to get started on their day. They're there already. And that was part of the idea of the program, is to make it very accessible to the students that we would serve by being in their own school building.
I counted up the hours, it starts at 3:50 p.m. and goes to 6:20. So that's 2.5 hours of time with kids after school for a myriad of activities. Now it's 5 years in. I'm hoping to get some stories of maybe it seems like a drop in the bucket to us, but for young kids, 5 years is an extremely long time to see their own growth. So, Rick, maybe I can ask you to talk about the development of this program, since you've been there in the classroom with your baton and hands on the instruments and explaining things from day one.
Well, I'd be delighted to. You know, maybe we could start with the big picture. Our partner, Communities and Schools, has after-school programs all over town in buildings, both elementary and secondary. And I think that it's not controversial for us to say that at Kids in Tune, we ask the most out of those kids. Can you imagine it? You've already spent a whole day at school, and now you have those 2.5 hours where we're asking you to learn an instrument. We're asking you to learn to read music. We're asking you to learn hard, challenging music, some of the most beloved music in the orchestral repertoire. That's a big challenge. That's a big ask for kids. And you remember, these are kids from first through fifth grade. But the funny thing is that, see, our friends at CIS tell us that year to year, they have the highest retention rate at Kids in Tune. The kids want to come back year after year. And so now here we are in the fifth year. We have people who began playing recorder 5 years ago and now are playing the cello, going off, say, to music camps in the summer. We have kids who are playing first chair in their middle school band. The growth that we see year on year is musical, but also I think that there's some kind of personal growth that a program in performing music can provide in a unique way. These, as you'll see at 5:30 tonight at Chenery Auditorium, you'll see that these kids are performers. These kids know how to convey an intention to an audience. And while whether you're in the boardroom or on the concert stage or in any walk of life, I think that's a skill that everybody ought to have.
I may be wrong. Was the celebration, the gala event, held in the Dalton Center last year?
That's right.
So you've grown a little bit for tonight's
concert. We are so excited to be giving our debut concert at Chenery Auditorium. It's the home of KPS. It's a big hall. It's beautiful, and it's a central place for culture and the arts in Kalamazoo. And so we know our kids are really excited to be performing on that stage, and we're just excited to be in that space.
I imagine they're quite eager too. To have they even seen the space of Chenery Auditorium? To a small child, it must look just cavernous.
Indeed, they have. Many of them have been in the hall to hear performances, including the Kalamazoo Symphony Orchestra's youth concerts. Mm-hmm. A few of them have actually performed on the stage before as well, because, as you know, KPS has wonderful music programs in place, starting in fourth grade for string instruments, and then band becoming an opportunity in middle school as well. And many of their performances take place at Chenery Auditorium. And so for some of the students, it will feel like home. And for some of the students, it will feel like a great new adventure to be up on that stage.
I'd like to remind listeners of the history of this program, and that was it Dan Trolley?
Oh, right. Dan Trahey from the Baltimore Orchids program, who visited to help us think about how this program was going to take shape and share some of their learning with us as we got started.
Right. But it is, even before that, is based on El Sistema, which was developed as an after-school program in Venezuela, of all places, and in a challenged country, created a generation of outstanding musicians. And that's sort of been adapted to American cities and American school programs.
Indeed. I think that 10 or so years ago, as the orchestra world, the musical world, became aware of this amazing program that was begun in Venezuela by a man named Jose Antonio Abreu, his concept was that music should really be at the service of the community, and that we could do a better job, perhaps, of providing access to not just on and off musical experiences, but intensive learning experiences for young children from all walks of life. And so the program in Venezuela developed over the course of 30, 40 years, and it's really an amazing thing at this point. We've learned so much about access from that model. We've learned to think about more than the financial barriers that families in our communities may face to participation in the arts in an ongoing, intensive way. To look at place-based opportunities like Kids in Tune that happens right there in the school building so that we don't have to worry so much about transportation and things like that. It's helped us think about intensity, whereas, you know, before we might have thought of a once-a-week music opportunity for students, why not a four-day-a-week program that encompasses all the practicing and all the performing together in one place and can be a social experience for the students as well. At Kids in Tune, we say often, Kids in Tune is a family. All the students support each other. The young ones look up to the older ones. We have siblings joining the program now who have known since they were 4 years old what instrument they wanted to play and never asked themselves whether they wanted to be in Kids in Tune, but what they were going to be as a musician when they got there. And so it's exciting to see how we've taken the inspiration of a model like El Sistema, figured out how we can make it work in our own community, and just marched forward from there. It's very exciting.
Rick, what was your profession before you became conductor for Kalamazoo Kids in Tune?
Well, what a good question. You know, my undergraduate degree is in music. I became a professional day jobber for several years. I went back to graduate school in mathematics. I got my PhD. I, for 20 years, have been on the mathematics faculty at Kalamazoo College. And about 5 years ago, in talking with Liz about this new exciting Kids in Tune program, got involved for what I thought was going to be an hour a day in the summer program to do a little program that combined a little music theory and a little arithmetic and a kind of neat package that wrapped up all of my experience. And I remember on that first day, there was some suggestion that, well, we've got all these kids who are playing different instruments starting today. Wouldn't it be great if they could play in an orchestra this afternoon? So I went home for lunch. I made a little piece for a bunch of beginners on both wind and string instruments. And I brought it back after lunch. And somebody said, wouldn't it be great if we had somebody to conduct them on that new piece? And so that was it. After one day of my 1 hour commitment, I've pretty much been hooked as the arranger and conductor at Kids in Tune.
There must be bad days as well as good days. What are some of the challenges you face, Rick?
Wow. Of course, we all have ups and downs. The I think it's important to remember that a day at a program like Kids in Tune can't really be judged on the same standard as a day, say, of rehearsing at the Kalamazoo Symphony. You know, these are a group of elementary school kids. One of the things that visitors to a rehearsal might notice is, wow, it is noisy. There is a lot of chatter. There is a lot of talk. And, you know, I've really come to realize that's the sound of a group of kids having fun. And if we get a little bit of orchestra music learned around and about all of that conversation and around all of that, kids just having fun being together, then I feel like it's a successful day. But it took me a long time to come to that realization.
Are some kids good swimmers when it comes to music and others need a lot of training? Can you see a big difference, a wide variety?
Well, I think that there's no question that we all have our own strengths. And one of the things that I think that all of the staff at Kids in Tune has been so good at is to find ways to help the children for whom music comes easily or who take very naturally to their instrument, to help them move along at a rate that challenges them in a good way, while at the same time providing a kind of nurturing to the students who are very happy to be involved and who need some extra support. Mm-hmm. So at the concert, you'll see on the stage with the 80 or 90 performers, you'll see some students performing very independently. You'll see some students who really require a lot of help. The instructors play in the orchestra when we perform along with the students. And so you'll see some of the younger students, the ones who have been playing their instruments less long, you'll see them having this really quite unique experience of sitting with their teacher, getting a kind of on-the-spot training in performing and playing their instrument. So our hope always is that this is a program that has something to offer to kids at every musical level that is bigger than just learning to play the right notes and rhythms.
Is the focus on music in tonight's concert, which starts again at 5:30 and is free and open to anyone, will it be a lot of speeches about, you know, 5 years and how wonderful it is, let's pat ourselves on the back, or are we going to see mostly music?
I'm actually really excited about that question because, yes, we'll do a little bit of speech making. We're very thrilled that we've come this far in 5 years and there's a lot to celebrate. However, we can't take too much time on that because we have a very full program to perform for you of great orchestral themes. The students sound wonderful. As Rick was just mentioning, you know, we have this model where the idea is to involve everyone in the orchestra in the making of big, exciting music. And so the instructors, the students, we are also going to have some members of the Kalamazoo Junior Symphony Orchestra sitting side by side with us. We're going to be there tonight to make music and to share it with the community. So I think the exciting part of our celebration is that we're very ready to do that. The students are well prepared. They know the music. They're sounding great. And so it's just a wonderful point to have arrived at.
My guests are Liz Uecker from the Kalamazoo Symphony Orchestra and Rick Barth, conductor of Kalamazoo Kids in Tune. Let's hear one of those famous themes that'll be featured in tonight's concert, which is again at 5:30 p.m. in Chenery Auditorium. The opening movement to Eine kleine Nachtmusik by Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart, one of the most popular pieces over the last couple hundred years of music in the classical world, and it's one of the themes we'll hear on tonight's Kalamazoo Kids in Tune Gala Finale Concert for 2016 in Chenery Auditorium at 5:30 p.m. Let's focus on the program, Rick, and tell me a little about what you've prepared for the students to play tonight.
Oh, I'd love to. So we'll begin with another of the most famous orchestral themes that you'll ever hear, the Sunrise Fanfare, the opening from the Strauss, the same one from 2001, A Space Odyssey. It was cute. You know, in our generation, we all think of that Stanley Kubrick film as the place where that piece is heard. When I first played it for the kids last summer to get them ready to play it, they all said, oh, that's from The Simpsons movie.
The Simpsons.
And since then, a couple of weeks ago, who was relatively new to the program, said that his favorite wrestler uses that as his opening music in the professional wrestling broadcast. So we'll begin with that. We have such a great brass section. You know, our brass teachers include Kip Hickman, the principal trombonist of the KSO, Mr. Jimmy and Mr. Rob, who are both graduate students in performance at Western. They've been, those two have been with us for 2 years. Kip has been with us the whole time, and those brass kids sound great. I sort of tease our colleagues in the Sistema-inspired after-school orchestra world that we are the Chicago Symphony of after-school orchestras because we have such a strong brass section. And you'll hear them throughout the concert immediately on the Strauss Fanfare. You'll also see immediately why we're excited to have such a big and enthusiastic percussion section. Can you imagine it? Full-size timpani and bass drums and cymbals and snares and xylophones and everything else, and little first through fifth grade students who are working their heart out to add that component to the orchestral performance.
One of the things I read in the material you sent along is that the first year of Kalamazoo Kids in Tune is sort of a general get to know the elements of music program. But after that first year, they are given the option to choose the instrument that they want to play. How does that go? I mean, do you have to steer some kids toward instruments you need in the orchestra? I've heard many stories of how people ended up with a French horn because no one else wanted to play it.
There is some steering, for sure. I think that there is a point in the school year for our fundamental students, those ones who are in first and second grade and just starting the program, when I think if given the choice, they would all choose percussion. The opinions shift from day to day. Mr. Georgie, who is one of the artists in residence of the Kalamazoo Symphony, is very charismatic with the kids, and there is always a period of time when everybody wants to play the clarinet with him. By the time this all settles down, typically during our summer, our six-week summer program, we have a workable balance.
Understandable, yeah. But the chance to choose your own instrument, to me, would, as a child, would be one of those moments where you get the power and you get your own influence felt in a time when, you know, everyone is always telling you what to do. So there's a nice sense of independence in deciding this is my instrument.
Absolutely. And I think that's another of the reasons that we really wanted to follow this orchestral model, is so that we would have a wide range of instrument choices available to students. If we just had a string program, then it would be choices of string instruments, of which there are many, but, you know, that's a little bit limited too. But in terms of the widest possible range of instrument choices, as well as the widest possible range of repertoire that we could access and bring to life and have these kids experience, that's really at the root of the program. So you know, there is a little bit of guiding, but there are also many choices and many options, and we see our kids gravitate and find something they really love.
I cleared out my closet a few years ago that I remember and donated an instrument to Kalamazoo Kids in Tune. Is there any shortage? Are you looking for people like me who might have had something gathering dust in the closet that they could put in the hands of a young person?
Yes.
Indeed. Yes. Your flute is being put to wonderful use. I think Erica is playing it right now. So we are really appreciating that. So we're always looking for high quality instruments that are in playable condition for use in the program. We right now are offering flute, clarinet, cornet, baritone, some trombone, string instruments, and percussion. Interested in all of those things. And as we strategically begin adding a few other instruments, we're kind of hinting at the possibility of looking toward an oboe studio as well. So we are definitely interested in items that people in the community may have that they feel could be put to good use by the students working hard in this program.
How do kids react when they have an audience, a big audience?
You know, that's a good question. For one thing, you'll see them focus in a way that I think gets at something that's universal to every person. When you see another person who is in the moment and focused on their task, you recognize that no matter who the other person is, no matter whether they're a child or a senior citizen, no matter where in the world they're from, you recognize that as a universal human experience. And I think that what you'll see when you come to the concert tonight at 5:30 is a group of about 90 young people on that stage who, when the light comes on, focus to their task and bring 100% of their effort to perform this music for the audience.
Could we get back to some of the pieces on the program? Rick?
Oh, yes. So we'll play segments from two movements of Dvorak's Ninth Symphony. The kids, when we ask them, what's your favorite piece to play at Kids in Tune? About half of them, I think, would vote for the fourth movement with that famous jaws opening and then the big trumpet statement of the melody. Allegro con fuoco is not the easiest thing to get out of your mouth when you're in second or third grade. And so it's kind of fun to hear all the versions that each kid has for their own name for that piece, that their favorite piece to play. The Dvorak will then be followed by the Eine kleine Nachtmusik, two movements. Maybe your flute, Kara. Our chamber orchestra, which is our oldest kids, our most advanced kids, our most independent players, will be playing two movements from Eine Kleine. Then our winds and percussion will play a big theme from 1812 Overture. I remember the day and date of the first time I ever played that piece. I'll bet you do too. So when you asked how the kids are as performers, when you see them tackle that big piece, that piece that somehow, even if you haven't heard it before, doesn't it sound to you like it's always been there, ready to be discovered? And so we'll hear our wind and percussion players play 1812 Overture. Then we get to Mahler. Wow, huh?
Yeah, Mahler on a program for kids.
And the half of the kids who didn't say that the finale from New World Symphony was their favorite will probably say that this movement from Mahler's First Symphony is their favorite. This is the third movement that starts with a statement of that nursery rhyme, like Frère Jacques, but in a kind of a minor key. And then there's a prolonged round, a canon, just on that nursery rhyme tune. We've been playing that piece for a couple of years now. It, along with Ode to Joy, form a kind of core of the Kids in Tune canon. In the first year on their instruments, the kids master those two melodies, Ode to Joy and the Frère Jacques melody. This year, for our more advanced kids, we've added another section. You know, we love Mahler because there's always another melody to incorporate when we're ready for it. And so we added the, what I've heard called the klezmer section of that
yeah.
movement. I heard Gustavo Dudamel refer to it as the mariachi section.
Okay.
At that section, our young violinists have really kind of taken to it. They've got a sort of impromptu choreography. Tasteful, I might add, but a little organized movement that they do during that very dance-like section. That Mahler, by the way, is becoming a kind of anthem for programs like ours. it feels so profound to the kids. There is really something important happening in that music and in the process of performing it. But yet it's accessible because it starts with a nursery rhyme and builds from there.
Are some kids reading music and some kids playing by ear?
Yes. More and more of our kids are reading music right from the beginning. The fundamentals class focuses on note reading, and we play recorders, so they learn treble clef. Last summer, if you had asked that question, I'd say a significant portion of our kids just learn their part so well that they know them by heart. But at our summer program, our six-week intensive music camp that we do each summer, we made a concerted effort to get everybody reading notes. So we had each day a kind of ceremony. We had a big board where if you read a note, you could cut it out and put it on the board. If you read a line, you could cut out that line and put it on the board. So that by the end of the summer, we had maybe 4 feet tall and 15 feet wide bulletin board full of the snippets of music that kids had learned to read day by day. And since then, I think that all of the kids in orchestra are reading music.
You just make me want to go home and practice a little. It's very fun. Again, Kalamazoo Kids and Tunes Gala Finale is tonight at 5:30. It's a free program, and it will be held at Chenery Auditorium. The program is expected to last for how long?
Approximately an hour. We don't promise to not go over by a few minutes, but join us for the concert for about an hour, followed by a little reception.
How many kids will appear on stage in total? Do you have an idea?
We will have about 75 Kids and Tune performers, about 15 Kalamazoo Junior Symphony members playing side by side with us, as well as our faculty and staff who are always sitting side by side with the students as well. So that's probably another 15 or so people. Mm-hmm. So full stage.
Is this program growing? Are you able to sustain and see it expand even?
We are really excited about the future of Kalamazoo Kids and Tune, and what's happening now that the elementary program is solid and has completed a good 5 years, is looking toward how we can continue supporting the students who have been a part of the program for 5 years and are now ready to go on to middle school, but really want to stay connected. Starting about last year, we had a significant number of students saying, could we maybe come back and volunteer in the program? Could we join you for your Halloween concert? Are there ways that we can stay connected? And so we're seeing the need for that, and we're hearing that. So we're looking at opportunities that may come up to help follow those students and keep them as part of the Kids and Tune family. Our first chapter of that is called the Kalamazoo Kids and Tune Leaders. So we have 3 sixth graders this year who are returning to the Woods Lake site 2 days per week. KPS is helping us with buses to send kids back from the middle school so they can be there by program time. They're mentoring younger students in music, also with homework, and they're continuing their studies with their teachers as well. And they've been just fantastic, and they've grown so much in this year. So we'll be continuing that effort next year with even more kids. We're looking for opportunities for funding to consider the possibility of a middle school site. But that's a little down the road. But it's definitely a concept we want to explore, knowing that our students would like to stay connected. They're eager to continue learning. They enjoy the intensive environment and the connection with their teachers that they have at Kids in Tune. So
there is a sense of comfort and a self-esteem that comes with having learned the ropes of something. And there's that level, but then the level of showing newbies how it works is another boost, I would think, to your self-esteem and who you are.
It's really been terrific fun to see our young leaders who return to the site from middle school, to see them mentor in such a knowing and thoughtful way. It's clear that those kids recognize the difficulties that the younger kids are having in a way that nobody else could. Only people who have been through it really understand. And to see the kind of gentle advice or nudges of encouragement that the young leading students give to the younger ones has really opened our eyes.
Have you noticed the communications gap that can occur when some of us have been many years into adulthood? And I was able to observe an 8-year-old niece talking to a 2-year-old nephew who I couldn't understand a lot of the time. she understood him perfectly and was able to explain in the fewest words possible what was going on or ask what he needed. And there is something about people of close ages being able to that communication level be right there.
Oh, no question about it. You know, we all have our emotional ups and downs throughout the course of the day. And hopefully as we get older, we get a little better at, what's the right word, stuffing them down?
Yeah.
Of course, when you're 6 or 7 and you've just spent a long day at school, that becomes harder, and it becomes a little bit harder to regulate what you're feeling at any time. And that is, you're exactly right. That's one place where the young leader students have been so insightful. And you'll see a little child who really looks like a thundercloud, and one of our 6th grade students will just say, "Psst, here's what's going on."
Well, Eric and Liz, thank you very much for coming by. Would you like to take a moment again to hear some more music by Mozart? And maybe we can come back for a wrap-up after that.
Sure.
Let's remind people once again, the concert begins at 5:30 at Chenery Auditorium. It should last an hour or maybe a little bit more. And it's free and open to the public. Here's a little more from Eine kleine Nachtmusik. We're listening to music from Eine kleine Nachtmusik by Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart. Beautiful melodies, some of which will be featured in tonight's Kalamazoo Kids in Tune Gala Finale concert at Chenery Auditorium starting at 5:30 p.m. And the organizers have made sure it's free and open to anyone who wishes to attend between 5:30 and 6:30 or maybe 6:45. My guests here today are Liz Euchre and Eric Barth, both intensely dedicated to this program through the Kalamazoo Symphony Orchestra. And as the conductor, Eric has done the entirety of arranging for this concert. I find that to be above and beyond, but it sounds like it was out of necessity.
Well, you know, I think it just goes along with the kind of organization and the kind of mission that we want to project. Liz mentioned about all the good reasons to start with a symphony orchestra with both winds and strings right from the beginning. But there are a number of reasons that hasn't been done really very much with young students. And so there really isn't any pre-existing literature for us. That, together with the fact that we both feel so strongly that the place to introduce students to orchestral music is in the heart of orchestral music, the big pieces, the big themes, the most moving music. So if we want to perform it, we need to arrange it.
Do kids only like the bombastic, huge-sounding pieces?
Well, of course, that has its own charm to any child. I'd say they love pieces that are atmospheric in any way. The spooky sounds
that create a mood
are just as attractive to them. They love, of course, each year we try to do one or two pop songs, and they of course love that, and they really feel the rhythmic intensity.
Yeah,
then that comes really naturally to them. Each year we try to do one big orchestral piece that kind of is the center of our work for the whole year. This year it's the Mussorgsky Pictures at an Exhibition. We do 8 of the numbers. The kids are all over the place with what's their favorite. Many of them love the promenades, and we've got a promenade arranged for each section of the orchestra. Some of them love the ox cart. Now, that's a bombastic piece, and do they love it? It gives our brass and percussion a chance to shine. A number of them really like the Baba Yaga movement, in part because of the rhythmic intensity of the piece, in part because they love the story. If you ask them what's going on with Baba Yaga, they learned very well from a Russian cartoon we showed them over the summer. They learned very well what it means for a witch to live in a hut with chicken legs. In fact, a kid a few weeks ago was saying that she was playing an online game of Minecraft. And they encountered a room with a Baba Yaga hut. And somebody, one of the other online players, was saying, well, what's that? And she said, and Dr. Rick, I had to tell them that it's a witch who lives in the forest, and she lives in a hut with chicken legs, and there's a whole piece about it.
That's fantastic. Well, I'm glad to hear that, you know, they can learn around the piece as well as the music itself, that it's so much more rewarding when you get a sense of why the piece was created and the stories that go with it.
And I think that the stories really resonate with them. I think it's my fondest hope, and I think that we're realizing this, that the students come to appreciate this great art, this art which has endured the test of decades or centuries, but they appreciate it in their own way through the cultural references that they have now, just through their own experience of performing it. You know, it's a whole different story to learn a piece and convey the intention of the piece that you feel, as opposed to, say, just listening to it really hard. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're nearing the end of this hour. Liz, I think you had some people to thank before we close out today.
Absolutely. Being able to embark on this effort has been just such a wonderful thing for the Kalamazoo Symphony Orchestra, and to partner with communities and schools and KPS. We've learned so much from that, and we're delighted with the outcomes of it. Many of our funders in the community have done phenomenal things to make that happen. We have the communities and schools has funding from the Michigan Department of Education, 21st Century Community Learning Centers. So that's kind of the basis of the after-school programming. We've also received support for lessons, teachers, instruments, and all of the things that go with the music part of the program from the Kalamazoo Community Foundation, Irving S. Gilmore Foundation. We received a grant from the Ann and Gordon Getty Foundation through the League of American Orchestras. Greg Jennings Foundation has been a big supporter. We're so appreciative. The Rhonda Stryker and William D. Johnston Foundation as well. The Sally Appleyard Trust, quite a few individual donors who have been very supportive. So it's really just been a privilege to be able to get this program off the ground and see it grow into what we imagined. And I will also say, I don't want to embarrass him or anything, but Rick Barth carrying the vision of this as an orchestra program and all the hard work on these arrangements, you know, getting the kids from where they started to where they are today has been just a phenomenal accomplishment. It's just beautiful.
Do you have any regrets, Rick, from being a professor of mathematics to in the trenches with the young musicians learning their very first notes and very first sounds?
Well, it's a crazy combination. But, you know, I think what I'd say is that living in a community like Kalamazoo has changed the way I think about a lot of things. I'm so inspired by Kalamazoo citizens over the last century and a half who realize that if they want to make this the kind of community they want to live in, they're going to have to do it themselves. They're going to have to create the Kalamazoo Symphony from scratch. They're going to have to make the Civic Theater. The things that make our community so vibrant all happen because somebody said, I'm going to make that happen. Mm-hmm. And I feel like this is, for Liz and I, this is one of the ways we can do that and continue that proud Kalamazoo tradition.
And once in a while, you have to stop and celebrate.
Absolutely.
And that's tonight at 5:30 at Chenery Auditorium.
Well, thank you, Rick, and thank you, Liz. Let's finish up with some great bombast from the Pictures at an Exhibition by Mussorgsky, A Year in the Making for Kalamazoo Kids in Tune. Great achievement, and I look forward to seeing you again next year or maybe earlier. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
Thanks, Carol.